Here you go, Matthew. You can hand these out and give the rest to Travis, because I have extra copies in case we didn't have enough. All right, a vital, vital lesson. That's Bible study. In Bible times, they had a little bit different. In fact, it was a lot different. And throughout most of history, until the printing press really changed everything, they had to, you didn't have your own Bible. The synagogue would have a Bible at the synagogue. Maybe a rabbi would have they wouldn't have a whole Bible. Very rarely would they have the whole Old Testament or even most of the books of the Old Testament. Sometimes a synagogue would have, you know, a couple books of the Bible, maybe a couple rabbis would have a book of the Bible. Maybe a big, big synagogue would have the majority of it, but they're scrolls and they had to be copied by hand and then they got worn and stuff. And then, of course, once the Bible, the New Testament came out and then it all got put, you know, basically together into one book, you know, and it all got compiled, there was some Bibles that were complete. But those Bibles are rare, but they'd have copies of books of the Bible. And then eventually, through time, it got common to have the 66 books of the Bible in a church or in a, and maybe the pastor would have it, or the priest or whatever would have the Bible. But the people didn't have Bibles. They were incredibly expensive. Paper was hard to get. Ink was hard to get. Paper, you couldn't just go buy it at the local store. It had to be on a dried animal skin and treated a certain way, or it had to be on certain types of wood, that was more rare, more often as animal skins. And so, and then the first Bibles came out, you were killed if you were found with them. When they got the printing press started, you were still killed if you were burned at the stake if you had a Bible. You were only the leaders of the church, the Catholic Church, were able to have them. So we live in a different day. We have a Bible. And you can read the Bible anytime you want, but traditionally, your Bible knowledge was gained at church listening to the preaching. And that's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, not by reading, because most of history, you didn't have your own Bible. And even if you read God's Smuggler, they were mostly Russians behind the Iron Curtain, they didn't have Bibles. And many times on a mission trip, all people won't have Bibles. I've been in a church in the Philippines where they brought the Bibles to church every Sunday, and then they probably had six Bibles for a church of 120 people, and they took them back. And, you know, different people got them every week. It was their lucky week. And so we're blessed. We can have the Bible anytime. God still chose the foolish as a preaching to say than to believe. So preaching is still important, but the Word of God, to have it, is a great privilege. And the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. So we really had to be better Christians than traditional Christians in history, because they didn't have the Bible every day. And they had to listen very closely to a long message and remember everything they heard and try to meditate on it and things. And so, and to make that last through the week. And so we have the Bible now. And but the Bible always said you've got to have the Bible all over you and all in you. That, by the way, that's probably another reason they had church every day in the New Testament. That's probably one of the reasons they did that, because they needed the Bible so much. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. By the way, that kids should learn the Bible when they're young. Don't think that that's not the learning time. And then when they get older, you'll teach them. Get it in them while they're young. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Just a few things. Prayer is you talking to God, but the Bible is God talking to you in that conversation. And then also the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And remember, Adam and Eve ran, but if you look at what they ran from after they'd sinned, it says the voice of the Lord God was walking in the midst of the garden. And the Word of God drives away sin, and sin will drive you from the Word of God, and they don't dwell well together. And so it's powerful in your life. And so, so what does the Bible do in our lives is the point number one. What will the Bible do in our lives? Number one, it makes us to know about salvation. It says it'll be able to make thee wise unto salvation. And so salvation is something you know about, you understand, you've got it. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Salvation is something you know you have. It's not something you're working toward or hoping to get. Salvation is done. It says it makes you wise unto salvation. And so it does that. Secondly, the Bible guides you. Psalm 119:105, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And it guides us. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's many verses in the Bible. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. They're the guidance of your life. The scripture gives you a lot of decisions, a lot of wisdom. In life's decisions, there are a huge chunk of decisions in your life that the Bible just says, don't do this, do this. Should I go to church? Yes, the Bible says so. Should I marry a Christian or not Christian? The Bible says. Should I lie? No, the Bible says not to. There's just a lot of things the Bible just makes a decision for you. It guides you. And then there's a lot of principles outside the commands that guide your life, like seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's a principle. It's a command, but it's also a broad principle of life that applies to 100 different things. And so principles start being given to you from the Bible, and it guides you in that way. And then thirdly, it starts influencing the way you think, and you get the mind of Christ. And pretty soon you have wisdom in decisions, and you just kind of know what's wise because you think with the wisdom of the Word of God. You think because your mind has been renewed, and so you think right. And so it really guides your life, and it takes care of, you know, a majority of decisions in your life. It takes care of and teaches you what to do, and it guides you in life. Next, it gives you the complete knowledge we need to live for God. That's in this passage we're at here. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means the word inspiration, the word comes from the breath, inspired. It's right out of the mouth of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Man penned the words. God told the men what to pen. It's the same as dictating the letter. If I have someone type up a letter for me, it's my words, but they might type it. They might write it. God told these men, write this. And so it's given by inspiration of God. It says the holy men of God spake not according to the will of man, but they spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. So God told them what to write. And he used human instruments, and he certainly shows us that that's what he does. But he guided those human instruments and told them what to write and prepared, made a person that was prepared for writing that scripture and prepared them for it and then told them what to write. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. That means complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's very important that you understand that. If everything you need to do in Christ, everything you need to do to live for God, God has thoroughly furnished you for that. If I said this apartment is thoroughly furnished unto all things you'll need. That means you're going to have a toaster, you're going to have a microwave, you're going to have a stove, you're going to have a refrigerator, you're going to have, it's thoroughly furnished. The Bible says it will give you, it'll thoroughly furnish you unto all good works. Everything you need for victory, for the knowledge to serve God, whether it's raising your family or dealing with your finances or anything else, God's Word will guide you in those things. And I've certainly found that in life, that the Word of God, it prepares you for the victory you need. It doesn't leave you in darkness of what to do. Usually if you keep on studying the Bible, you'll keep on finding the answers, and they work. And so it does that. Next, it has a powerful effect on our lives. The Bible has a powerful effect on our lives. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide and asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts." It has a powerful effect on our life. And it's a two-edged sword. It's very powerful. And I find if you will spend time in the Word, it'll cleanse you. It'll impact you. It'll make your life change because the Word of God's powerful. And that's why we preach it. Next, it brings success. Let's go ahead and go to Psalms. That'll be fine. Let's go to Psalms. And Psalms chapter 1. Someone once said, how you treat the Word of God determines how God treats you. And I believe that's very true. It has a powerful effect, and it brings success in your life. It gives a list of things of a blessed man. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. Psalms 1:1. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. The Bible also says this in Joshua 1:8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you meditate therein day and night. And it says that you may have success in everything you do. And so the Word of God, here's what I find. If you meditate in the Bible, you spend your mind, your heart on that, you find that the blessings of God pour down upon you, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. It affects your whole life. And you might not say, I had this Bible verse that said this, and then all of a sudden, I got the job I needed. You know, the Bible's not going to say, go apply it, you know, at Intel. It's not going to say that. But you'll find that those who live their lives in the Word, the door is open for them. They get blessed. Things work out. When they need something, it comes in. It's just whatsoever you do prospers. God blesses you. God meets your needs. And I have used these verses claiming to God, hey, Lord, I have this need. I'm going to meditate in the Scripture. And many of the times I've heard other stories and seen in my own life that when I start filling myself with the Bible, it seems unrelated, but it just so happens that all of a sudden things start falling, things start prospering. Then thou shalt thou have good success, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. I'm not saying that if you meditate, if you think of the Bible, you know, 18 hours a day, you're going to become a millionaire, but you'll be blessed. You'll be prospered. The areas you need, what you need, and it works, and it brings success in your life. Well, and one of the things, just, you know, I've just discovered is I've never found anything, and this book is my life. It's been for 27 years, and you know, I came into it not knowing anything about it, not understanding the inspiration of Scripture, not understanding a lot of things, but as I studied that, I just became in awe. This book is amazing. Everything it says is true. It's incredible. And there's so much in there, and it's so incredibly rich. And I just decided, as I saw it, and from the prophecies, and from just seeing how it works, this is God's Word. There's no doubt about it. And anybody with an open heart who starts, you know, spending time in the Word, that it verifies itself. And I just jumped in both feet. Now, I did not know all the principles then. I did not know everything it had taught. I did not know everything about life. I was a teenager. But I've been doing it now for 27 years. And you know what I found? I have never found an area where you follow the Bible and it doesn't work. Everything it says, if you do it, works. Now, I live in a sin-cursed world. Every single thing, you know, it says things about health, and those things about health work and help you. And science verifies those things they keep discovering. But it doesn't mean I'll have perfect health. But there's biblical principles about food. There's biblical principles about health. And doesn't mean you're going to have perfect health. It just means everything it says works. And life's, you know, life's full of troubles, and there's a sin curse on all of us. However, I've just found everything it says, it works. And it brings success in your life. I've never... You know, we have a Bible reading program. We try to get you in the Bible all the time. There's no area of the Bible when I'm teaching, counseling, or anything, I say, I'm not going to teach this because that part really doesn't work. There's not a single thing in there. I'm very confident you're reading every word of this book, and you're going to find out it's the Word of God. We push you to read it more than me, study it all the time. I am not afraid to preach any part of the Bible in context, because it works, and it's true, and it's an amazing book. And by the way, most things are written 2,000 and 3,000 years ago are full of wrong things that do not work and are totally wrong. Most things written 300 years ago, you laugh at, because there's not a thing in here, and it's the Word of God. Next, it feeds us spiritually. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. I think it's an amazing thing, the knowledge that's brought into a baby, that it's hungry and it knows what to do as soon as it finds mom. By the way, evolution doesn't explain those instincts, but you got a natural hunger when you need to grow. And the Word of God, when you get saved, you get a hunger for the Word of God, and it feeds you, and you grow. And by the way, one of the things that I want you to be careful about and make sure you don't do with converts, and it's really a trend now, and it's going to be a trend. This is something that people have come to me from other churches for counseling, and they've said, you know, I went to our pastor, and he said, you know, I asked him about this and this and this, and he just gave me a book. And everything now is giving you a book about something that's very common. And by the way, I don't counsel the church's members. I make them go back to pastor and get his approval, but if they're a member of the church. But it's very common. Hand you a book, you read this book, and it'll give you the answer. Listen, and now new converts, they got a discipleship book to hand them to read. And I'm not against books. I'm not against that. But I want to say, they need the Word of God. Get them reading the Bible. They'll grow. A book about the book, you know. Listen, if somebody needs to eat, I can give a book about food, but it doesn't feed them. Okay, it might show them pictures. It might explain how to eat. Okay, it might explain what food is like, and it might explain how to prepare, but it's not the food. This is the food. The Bible is the food. And they hear preaching and read the Bible. And so get them a Bible. And you want somebody to grow, get them into the book. And I'm not against Christian books. I'm not against them. I just find you need the Bible, not a book about the Bible. And so, and please, people say this, well, they don't understand the Bible. If you have the Holy Spirit, He'll lead and guide them into truth. Give them the Bible. Tell them to ask God to guide them. Teach them. It doesn't happen. It's one of these things people say, well, if you read the King James, you don't understand it. That's not true. I've been discipling people for 27 years. It's eighth grade reading level. And they say, well, I don't know what these and thous means. Thee means you. Thou means you. Ye means you. Okay? Got it? And it's not that hard. And so I understand there's some hard words in there, but we've timed it 1,000 times. 3 months, and you don't even notice you're reading Old English. You get used to it. 3 months. Before then, you understand 90% of it, and you're fine. And just get them to read the Bible. Put them in a simple book of the Bible. That's fine. Put them in John. Put them in Matthew. Put them in 1 John. Those are all fine. Put them in Romans. Let them start reading. Don't put them in Leviticus. Don't put them in Hezekiah. Put them in something practical, something to grow right away. All of it's good. Put them in a Bible reading give them our Bible reading charts. Fine. Genesis is interesting and things, but get them in the book. Next, it cleanses us. Jesus prayed to the Father, sanctify them. John 17:17, through thy truth, thy word is truth. If you have dirtiness in your life, just a lot of the Bible says the washing of the water of the word. Lots of Bible cleans you. Lots of Bible cleans you. Lots of Bible cleans you. And it cleanses you. It's powerful. And then it brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I find the faith problem that we see so often in America, I find it's a Bible problem. It's a Bible problem. I just don't know if God can do this. I'm worried about this. I don't think this is going to happen. I just can't trust God enough to obey and do this. The root cause of that is you need to trust God. Well, they don't. And by the way, you can't just tell somebody you have to trust. You know, you can't talk trust into somebody. If you have somebody and you say this bridge will hold you, trust me, and they're afraid of the bridge, they don't just say, oh, okay. They don't trust. If somebody doesn't trust their spouse, you can say, trust me, you should trust me. That doesn't work that way. Faith, the way you get to get faith is by the Bible. And usually the thing is not you need to trust God. It's how's your Bible reading? How much Bible are you listening to? And it brings faith. As I said, you study the Bible, you find out it's God's word, and somehow it just happens. A lot of stuff with the Bible, if you just get into it and study it and spend time in it, everything that needs to happen happens. The cleansing, the faith, the changed life, all that stuff happens. And it's very powerful. You grow in all these different things. Number one, what the Bible will do in our lives, a lot of things, very powerful. Number two, what should we do with the Bible? What we should do with the Bible? First of all, we should study it. 2 Timothy 3:2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. The Berean Christians said they study the scriptures daily, Acts 17:11, to see if such things are so. And so study the scripture. Jesus commanded them. It says, study the scriptures, for in them you find the words of life. And so study them. Begin early in life. As a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. You should study the Bible. I think if you could do it perfectly and you have a good amount of time, I think the best thing you should do, and this is what I do generally, is there's three things. One is you should be constantly reading it through. God put it Genesis, Revelation. And I'm just always reading it through all the time. It's just a constant process. However, I'm also studying certain things at the same time. And so I might be reading it, but I might be saying, you know, I'm really trying to figure out this thing about the rapture. I'm really studying baptism or whatever. And don't be impatient in studying things. It might not be time for you to grasp the truth yet. I find that God will give you the understanding when it's time. And if you study and you can't figure out the answer, don't get discouraged. There is a time for understanding. And you'll understand it when you get there. And that you'll find the timing's perfect. And I've studied subjects, I just could not understand it. And then all of a sudden, just one day, sometimes a couple years later, all of a sudden God said, it's this. And it was like, why didn't I see that? Well, God quickens you, the Bible says. He gives you grasp of the Word of God. And he does it when you're ready. I mean, not always ready for the truth. It says, for example, there's the milk of the word, and there's the meat of the word. The Bible says, understanding is for deep understanding is not for babes; it's for adults. You don't feed a baby a steak, and you wait till they're two, you know. But you don't feed a baby a steak; you wait. And so, God says, when you need the truth, and I'll give it to you. So, first of all, study the Bible. Second, hear it preached. Hear it preach. How else should they hear without a preacher, Romans 10 says. 1 Corinthians 1 says, God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to say then to believe. The Bible is full of sermons from Jesus, the Olivet Discourse, the Sermon on the Mount, to Pentecost, a sermon, to Stephen in Acts chapter 7. The Bible is full of preaching and preaching of the Word of God. And you should hear preaching of the Word of God. And that's very important. Next, you should memorize it. Memorize it. Psalm 119 and verse 11. You should memorize a scripture. The Bible says, thy word have I hid my heart that I might sin against thee. I know a man who's a very good man. And he had a daughter who started having issues. And it's a long story, but he was just a gem of a man, and just a wonderful man and father and husband. Great guy, still is. His daughter started, just things weren't right with her, and something was wrong with her, and just her whole, the way she walked, the way she looked down and stuff, everything just looked wrong. And so he took her. They couldn't figure it out, and it stayed, and so they eventually took her to the pediatrician. This pediatrician was very anti-God and started asking questions about this girl's life and what did she get to watch and what kind of music she had to listen to. And he said, he called Child Protective Services and said, this is because of child abuse. Turned out she had a physical brain problem happening. Her neurons were not connecting right. And she had a physical brain problem inside her brain. It didn't take that long to find out. As soon as they did a neurological scan, there was a certain condition. I don't know the name of it, but she had this. But it was making her look at the ground all the time, and it was making her having problems. Eventually, she started losing some motor skills and things. But that was the reason. So it sounds like a terrible book, this whole story, except for the whole family verifies it. And he's my teacher in Bible college. But they took her and took her away from all godly influences. She wanted to take her Bible. They wouldn't let her have a Bible. And they literally sat her in a room and made her watch MTV and tried to get all the world into her. This is back in the late 80s, started making her watch Madonna videos, trying to make her all normal and normal as a world, as they see normal, and try to make her watch bad stuff. And they would not let her alone with her dad. Her parents could only visit her. And as soon as he started talking about spiritual things, they would just take her out of the room and march her away. And later, they found out it was a physical brain problem, and they got a whole bunch of apologies and a whole bunch of please don't sue us things. But in the meantime, she went back home and said, Dad, I tried to explain to them I want God and stuff like that. It's just the only thing I could say I'm so glad about, I begged him for a Bible. They wouldn't give me one. And I'd close my eyes the whole time during the junk they tried to show me. But the good thing was that is I had all those verses memorized. It's about 15. And she said, I just sit there with my eyes closed and just quote the Bible verses and just think about all the verses and thank God that I memorized all those verses for all those years as a child. It's important to have the Bible inside of you. Now, we can always read it, and that's a blessing. But when you're at work sometimes, you can't take your Bible out, and you're getting tempted. And Jesus was in the wilderness alone, but he quoted the scriptures because they're in his heart when he was tempted. So you want to have the scriptures deep down inside of you, and they keep you from sin. Because right in the spot when the temptation comes, you got a scripture that'll come to mind, and it'll help you. Next, you should love the Bible. Psalm 119. And we're in Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 119. Of course, the longest chapter in the entire Bible, Psalm 119, is a praise, an alphabetical praise of the entire scripture. And it's different letters of the alphabet. And in the Hebrew, it's each letter, it's like, it'd be like A would be, and then it's the first letter of the poem would start with A and things. And it's it praises the scripture, the longest chapter in the Bible. But a few verses. Verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And Psalm 119:159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. And 165. Great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Love the Bible. What a gift it is. Love the Word of God. Amen? Love it. And you should love it. Next, you should do what it says. The Bible says, be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. It's nice to know it, but it's better to do what it says. Follow what it says and live what it says. I find that unlived Bible knowledge tends to do nothing but puff you up. It really doesn't do you good if you don't live it. It's kind of like food. You just keep on eating and eating and eating and don't do any exercise. Food becomes something that it bloats you. Is the food the problem? No. You're not exercising it. The Bible should be used. There's a lot of proud people who got a lot of Bible knowledge who didn't use it. And now all it is there for is just them to show you how much they know, but they don't live it. As a matter of fact, if they find out they know more than you, they'll be very proud about it and show you how much they know. I'd rather see a new convert who knows five verses who lives them than somebody who's got the whole Bible memorized and doesn't live it. Knowledge puffeth up. So you got to live it. Don't be a forgetful hearer and do that and do what it says. We should preach it. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. 2 Timothy 4. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. Preach it. Go win souls. Tell somebody about it. We should meditate on it. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Think about it. He talks about, I think in your word and the night watches. The Bible's talking about in his bed, he thinks about the word of God. Meditate therein day and night. Have the Bible all the time in there and on your mind. There's a million different ways of seeing good Christians do it. And find what works for you. I find that memorizing is the best way, and I'll get the scriptures will come to mind by the Holy Spirit when I need them. People have Bible verses around their house. Sometimes they have verses speaking to them, and it's on their fridge. You can write down some Bible verses on a 3x5 card that are speaking to you and put them in your pocket and take them with you. I've always found that having a New Testament with me is a great thing. Just put it in my pocket. Just having a New Testament there that I can open up to on a lunch break or when I'm struggling or feeling a hard time. I always, when I go somewhere, it's crazy, but if I go to the hardware store, I have a black bag that I keep some things in and my Bible's in there. I just always when I'm going to go somewhere, because I never know when I'm going to break down on the side of the road. And I need some Bible reading material. Or somebody, I might meet someone in the parking lot who says, who knows me and says, I have a question for you. I just find it's real handy. God sends divine appointments to have the Bible always with you. But just have it all the time. Meditating is by far the most emphasized things we are to do with the Bible. It emphasizes meditation a lot more than reading or hearing it preached. It really emphasizes meditation. And so I think that's important. And meditation is, there's a lot of connotations and different words used for meditation. The most common kind of connotation for it is like an animal, like a cow chewing the cud. Just keep on bringing it back up and let it stay there for a while and chew on it and get everything out of it and do that. Next, we should keep it constantly in mind. In his thought as they meditate day and night. Just keep it in your mind all the time. That's what we should do with the Bible. And three, things we should remember to do when studying the Bible. Number one, we should ask God to help us understand. We're in Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 18. Ask God to help us understand. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray for God to help us, to give us understanding as we preach. When I read the Bible, I say, Lord, let the Holy Spirit speak to me. Help me understand. Because the Bible says it's a spiritually discerned book, and God opens your eyes to it. It's not a physical book. It's not an intellectual book. It has that, but it's written in the spiritual realm. An understanding comes by the Spirit, and that's how you grasp it. Number two, we should look to the Holy Spirit to teach us. I'm going to go ahead and turn there to 1 Corinthians. It's a real good passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sure that birds teach birds how to fly. And I couldn't teach a bird how to fly because I'm not a bird. I couldn't teach a frog how to catch a bug because I'm not one of them. A man teaches a man. And the spiritual things in your spirit inside, the Holy Spirit can teach. Man, just in his flesh, if I get up today and I'm just in the flesh and the Holy Spirit doesn't speak, you can't understand spiritual truths. Unless the only other alternative to that is you're full of the Holy Spirit and the Lord's speaking to you because of your spiritual aptitude. But it's still, unless I'm full of the Spirit, it's not going to get as much to you. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about this. That the Spirit only understands the things of the Spirit. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. But we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? So the Holy Spirit, in John 14:26, he will lead and guide you into all truth. And so let the Spirit teach you. Next, we should study the Bible in light of the Holy Spirit and other scripture passages. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Boy, I have a it's a pet peeve of mine, but I've got a couple things here. The Bible says you can compare spiritual things to spiritual. Another passage in the Old Testament, it says you're going to be taught that this truth line upon line, precept upon precept. Okay? That's the Bible will teach you more Bible, and it gets built on itself. It's like math. You don't learn calculus and then before you learn addition and subtraction and multiplication. You build upon knowledge. Okay? And I find the Holy Spirit has said he'll lead and guide you into all truth. The Bible says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Most people think they need to rely on so many other things. And we're blessed. We have eSword and we have all these Bible programs and Bible software and commentaries and concordances. And all that's fine and good. There's nothing sinful or bad about them. But maybe the first thing you should consult is the Holy Spirit. And the second thing, maybe you look up all the scriptures in the subject before you say, I've got to have a commentary teach me. Well, you're relying on a man. And I want to tell you, at one point in a man's life, he's not going to know what every verse in the Bible means. I don't know what every verse in the Bible means. And I've read the Bible every single day of my life for 27 years. I went to Bible college and da-da-da-da-da. This is the mind of Christ. And people who know the Bible well say, I study it and I know it and I've memorized and I can tell you what the book of Obadiah is about, but it's so deep. I'm still dumbfounded by John 3:16. I mean, the Bible is so deep and it says what it says, but it's so profound and so deep and there's so many layers to it. I mean, and understanding the types in the Bible and all that it means. But here's what I find. The more I understand the Bible, the more I understand the Bible. Because, a lot of people sit there and dig into Revelation and misunderstand everything in Revelation, but they don't know anything about Daniel. But Daniel will teach you a whole bunch about Revelation. And Genesis will teach you a whole bunch about the Gospels. And the Bible, when you get the big picture of the Bible and you kind of understand the whole thing, I don't think you understand. A lot of things the Bible, you'll say, whoa, why did God do that? That looks really mean or cruel or strange. And you won't understand some of it for a while. But the more you understand the Bible, the more you get the mind of Christ, you say, wow, I see that now. And sometimes you see something in the Bible and you read through and you say, what in the world is that talking about? Why do you spend 85 verses talking about treating leprosy? And you're very confused about it. And later on you find out, leprosy is a symbol of sin in the Bible. And then all of a sudden you look back and go, wow, there's a lot to that. And so the Bible is the best commentary in the Bible. And study all the scriptures. And if you want to understand the Holy Spirit, there's a lot more than just the book of Acts and 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit's in the Old Testament. Holy Spirit is in the first couple of verses of Genesis. I mean, the Bible explains itself when you understand the Bible. You've got to just keep studying the whole book and compare it with Scripture and let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Nothing wrong with taking a peek at a good commentary. You don't need to go drink poison, okay, to test and make sure if it's poison. I mean, you don't need to go to false cults. You don't need to go to bad Bible teachers who are wrong on most of the stuff they teach. nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with getting a book about the Bible. It's fine. But you got a better source if you really want to know what the Bible's saying. Okay? And you got the Holy Spirit and you got the Word itself that explains itself. Remember, it's enough to be thoroughly furnished into all good works. And so, next, we should be consistent in our Bible study. And of course, it says daily. They search the scriptures in Acts, and then Joshua says day and night. It's consistency with Bible study. Next, we should not get frustrated if we don't understand everything. And that's Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, my thoughts are so much higher than yours. You're not going to understand everything. You're going to understand enough, and I'll give you the truth you need for now. And that's fine. One of the things I found interesting in teaching some of our children is in teaching math, they didn't want to we had a problem one time where we couldn't get one of our children to let us teach in the process because they could do the problem pretty quickly without the process. And they didn't want to learn the process. But those processes are important. And they're going to help you with other things in the future. And and there's a lot of things in the Bible where you're not going to understand everything because it's not the time to understand everything. People in the Old Testament wrote scripture and didn't understand what they're writing. Daniel did that a whole bunch. Daniel finally said, I don't understand all this stuff. What is all this stuff? What are these beasts and the symbols? And he says, Daniel, don't worry about it. You're not going to understand it. It won't be revealed until the end. Now go get some sleep. And so there, when you need to know it, it's the need to know basis. Study it, learn, you'll get a lot, you'll get depth, but God, you won't understand it all. It's the mind of Christ. I can tell you this, after 27 years studying it, I don't understand it all. I like it all. I've learned a lot. I still have a lot to learn. And there's still things I just say, I don't get that yet. And that's fine. God will show me when I need to. And Billy Sunday once said, it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do understand. You know? And there's plenty for you to do and chew on. You'll understand. Just do the things you got and you understand instead of living your life frustrated about things you don't understand yet. And that's good. All right. We got some homework. All right. Amen? All right. How many of you miss homework and being in school? Oh, look at you. All right. All right. I understand. first of all, you will need to make a plan if you're going to read your Bible consistently. Make a plan. First of all, you got to be consistent. You got to pick a time. At what time do you read your Bible every day? Don't make it as I'm falling asleep at 11:30 and laying in bed with my head in the pillow. Not a good time. At what time will you read your Bible every day? And then, because I just find nobody's ever consistent if they don't pick a time. We are too busy. If we don't schedule things, we don't do them. Period. Intentions are nothing. They're zero. They shouldn't even make you feel good, but I intend to read a Bible, that's nice. It's like a fireman standing there and say, I intend to save them. All right, anyway, let's go eat. I mean, it just said they don't mean anything. When are you going to read it? Number two, for how long or how much will you read your Bible? Let me just give you some quick ideas in this. There is not one concrete way to do this. You can pick an amount of time. You can say, I'm going to read a Bible for 20 minutes a day. Fine. That would be great. I wouldn't put an end cap unless you have to. Say, I'm going to do it at least 20 minutes. Then if you go over, that's great because God might be speaking to you. You might use a Bible reading chart. I find that very successful for people. Or a number of pages I've heard people use, and it works for them. What I did as a young Christian is I said, God, I'll read 3 chapters a day every day of the Bible. And that was very important for me spiritually. And so I always said I'll read at least 3 chapters of the Bible every day. If you read your Bible through in a year, if you read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, you'll read your Bible through in a year. or an amount to memorize. You can do that also. The most effective way that I have found for most people where they get the most out of their Bible, I want to say this, is listening to it. If you can get an MP3, you can get it on your iPod, you can put it on a CD in your car. The most effective, because you get the whole big picture better for some reason. Most people listening to the Bible get more out of it than reading it. But reading it's incredibly effective, and that's primarily how I've always done it. So all these things work. All these things are good. I just think you need to be consistent in it. Every day, find some time in there. And you got to schedule that time or it won't work out. And so your homework is to write those things out. What are you going to do? Get a plan. And that'll be great. And you'll find out it'll really impact your life. And if you don't eat for a day, you get weak. You don't read your Bible every day, you get weak. It's consistency that's really important. If you said, Pastor, I'll read my Bible for 5 hours a day, 2 days a week, or would you rather me read it 15 minutes a day? I'd rather read it 15 minutes a day. You'll do better spiritually. It's just better. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray you bless and help us to do what we ought to do with the Word of God. Thank you for the precious gift of God's Word. Help us to do right. Help us to live in it and love it and appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen. Travis, you in here?